It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.
Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am glad that you're with us. Thank you for joining us today. We got a great show. I'm going to be not interviewing, but in a conversation with a dear friend of the last 40 years, a lifelong Catholic, and we're just going to talk about how being a lifelong Catholic and then finding Jesus in just the last few years and how all that worked together and still works together, and I think you'll find this fascinating. And we're going to get to that topic in just a moment. Let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. If you go to our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. We've got past radio shows. We've got a YouTube channel on that website. We've got lots of charts and different exercises and a lot of things that you can find on the 721ministries.org. And then our sister website, puttinggreenblog.com. puttinggreenblog.com is where we have our books, and you can sign up for our weekly devotionals. So check that out. We've got a new book that's been out for a few months now that's getting great reviews, The Missing Link, where we follow Peter and some of the other disciples, but Peter in the first person through the book of Acts as Peter and the rest of the disciples learn to live with the power of the Holy Spirit after Jesus has returned to heaven. And what I know about you without knowing you is that you're not living with the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that. But even if you are, there's a whole lot more that you can live with that power of the Holy Spirit. And it's been an incredible journey for me over just the last few years. So check out The Missing Link. I think you'll love it and it'll be helpful. Okay, today's show, my dear friend Dick Doling from Atlanta. He was the first person I met on the campus of Georgia Tech in June of 1975. Welcome to the show, Dick.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be up here with you.
I tell you, it's so good to have Dick. Now, I'm going to give you just a quick background, and then we're going to start our conversation. Dick and I, like I said, was the first person I met on the campus. We became very dear friends while we were at Tech. I transferred over to Clemson after that, but we stayed friends. And then, of course, I was born again when I was 38, and Dick was born again when he was 47. So all those years of being dear friends, we didn't have that Jesus connection. And when I was born again, Dick was never confrontational about it. He was never negative about it, but we just didn't have the richness. And when I think about how blessed I am, how lucky I am, as you've heard me say several times on the show, I feel like I'm the luckiest man on the planet. Part of it is having this dear friend that now we have this in common. We have Jesus in common, and we don't even mind being called Jesus freaks. And one of the things that's so great about Dick is that he loves Jesus, but he's a successful businessman, and he's a good golfer, and he's a fun guy to be around. And that's just such a great representation for who you can be following Jesus. So what we're going to talk about today is how Dick came to know Jesus, his experiences with the Catholic Church, and let me say right up front, we're not slamming the Catholic Church. We're just talking about his experiences with the Catholic Church and his love still for the Catholic Church. He's still in the Catholic Church. And it's funny, and I do want you to hear this, especially if you're Catholic and you're listening today. When I'm in these different men's groups and someone starts to say something negative about the Catholic Church, I'll say, well, wait a minute. There's no difference. There are some differences, but in the majority of things, there's no difference between a Catholic Church and a Presbyterian Church and an Episcopal Church and a Methodist Church and a Baptist Church and Lutheran Church and right down the line. The vast majority of them are lost. The vast majority of Protestant denominations are lost. And so the Catholics, when someone said, well, you know, the Catholics, they don't encourage you to read the Bible. I grew up in churches that I never heard anybody encouraging me to read the Bible. I talk with men daily who've never read the Bible, that only know about the Bible from Sunday school and church and a little bit of maybe they got in a Bible study here and there. So I do want to say that the joy of this conversation is not Dick found his way out of being a Catholic is how he found Jesus as a Catholic. I hope that sets the table for that right up front. Dick, is that okay as a good introduction?
Yes, very good.
Does that capture it?
That captures it real well.
Okay.
Real well.
I didn't write that down beforehand. That was just kind of spur of the moment.
That's it.
All right, what I think is a fun way to do it is just to, you know, let me just start, Dick, with what were you like before you were saved? And I'll say with respect to religion and Jesus and the Bible, and then also things like worrying and challenges and being competitive in business. What was that like for you before Jesus came into your life?
It wasn't good.
but you were making a lot of money and you were successful in your career. And
right, but, you know, again, just a little brief history for your people here. I grew up in Atlanta, you know, as a Catholic, and all my friends were Catholic. We went to Catholic schools from kindergarten through high school.
So kindergarten, elementary school, junior high school,
and high school. That's right. So I thought everybody in Atlanta was Catholic till I went to Georgia Tech in the summer of 1975 and met Sam Hunter on the first day of campus.
Yes.
And not that we got into any religious discussion at all, but I realized you weren't Catholic and that most of the guys at Tech were not Catholic. Uh-huh. For sure. Uh-huh. For sure.
Uh-huh. You thought everybody was Catholic.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much my whole world was. That's uh-huh. right. In Atlanta. And it was fine. You know, we went to Mass regularly and all that, but had some exposure to the scriptures, but very little. And like you just said, not encouraged to read the Bible or to study the Bible or anything like that. And didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, no question. I didn't. Yeah, some might have, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And that was bad. The only thing I did was my experience was probably just to get on my knees and pray to Jesus when I was in trouble, when I needed something, and that's about as far as I went. And then as soon as that problem was over, man, I was back to my regular life.
Sounds just like me.
Yeah.
Just like me.
Yeah. You know, when life doesn't pose too many problems, and I didn't have too many problems in those years, then you can think you're okay spiritually.
Yeah.
I thought I was. I didn't even want to change my life. You know?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the Lord put a conscience in me, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And I sensed something wasn't right. Something wasn't right. I was full of doubts, contradictions, superstitions even, you know,
really?
Just to get me through.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I better do this, better do that, and maybe I'll be okay.
Uh-huh. But like so many people, you had this sense that there had to be more.
Yes.
It was just nagging somewhere off in your subconscious. There had to be more.
Yes, yes. Thank God there was.
Yes.
That nag.
Yes. Okay, so you are describing yourself as just about every other man that gets involved with 721. You are a churchian.
Mm-hmm.
You followed
mm-hmm.
church, not Christ.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Which is what that's the vast majority of people that would call themselves Christians. If they really sat down, they say, you know, the truth is I don't really know Jesus. I just know all about him, but I don't know him.
Yeah.
Okay, so how, after all that time, you're coming up on 47, I mean, back when this happened, how did that start to change in your life?
Yeah, well, luckily I ran into some problems, you know. A bigger one I'll talk about in just a minute. It was just a general knowledge that there had to be more. You know, none of the world's pleasures can satisfy you, and I was seeing that. And luckily, one time I was at the golf course where I played, and there was
and you're a good golfer.
Well, I'm okay, yeah. But there was a older fella, and he looked straight over at me, and he said, "What are you doing tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.?" And I fumbled a bit. And I said, I don't know. I don't have anything on my calendar. And he said, "Well, come with me. We'll go to a men's group I go to." And I thought, oh, no. But I had already said I didn't have anything to do. So I went home that night. But I wasn't trying to get out of it in my mind. I thought maybe God was just speaking to me. I said, I think I want to go. I want to see what this is. And I went with him. Uh-huh. And just a little bit of backstory to that, about 10 years before that, I had met a woman in Atlanta who was very kind and giving, and she gave me a little booklet, just a mm-hmm. little booklet from a minister in Atlanta named Ken Boa. It's called Drawing Near, and it was just devotional type little
B-O-A, Ken Boa.
Ken Boa, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she gave me that book and back in 1995, and I didn't do anything with it. So here was a decade later, yeah. 2005, when this man spoke to me. So I went to this men's group, and I mean, it blew me away. I couldn't believe how these men were so open about their trust in Jesus. These were big, successful men, and it was the most, I'd never seen anything like that. Never seen like that, and I was instinctively drawn to it. It was a visceral type group uh-huh. thing, and I went back week after week, month after month, year after year, uh-huh. and just gorged on uh-huh. it, gorged on it. Yeah,
you know, it is, Dick. So many. When men see that, they know they want it. They don't know it's out there. They don't know it's possible. Just like you, you've mm-hmm. never seen anything like that. Men come to the 721 Ministries meetings or anything like ours where you get men together and you start talking about the scriptures and Jesus and life issues for men, and they realize, this is what I've needed all this time.
Yes, yes.
Until you don't know what you don't know until you see it. And then
yes.
you want it.
Yes. I think God was, you know, he was drawing me to him mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. And what a nice, unbelievable little, I would have called a coincidence in the old days, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
She gave me that little book. It was Ken Boa who yeah. wrote that book.
Isn't that great?
And here I walk in 10 years later. Well, that's Ken Boa
How
right
about
there.
That?
Yeah.
How about that?
That was pretty neat. Yeah.
So what happened next?
Well,
because you're going to the meeting, but you're
yes.
not born again at
no,
this
I wasn't.
Point.
That's right. But I could feel a pull, and I just repented of my sins, got down on my knees, and asked Jesus to save me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's great.
And sure enough, you know, uh-huh. that happened 2007.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't change overnight, and it took some time for sure for me, but the desires of my heart started to change.
Wow.
Yeah, they started to change.
And you had no idea that the desires of your heart that he started to show you and you started to realize were the true desires of your heart, you had no idea they would be. They couldn't have been the desires of your heart 5 years before
no,
that.
No, not at all.
I just realized you were 50 when this happened.
There you go.
And so for the 50 years, you couldn't have even begun to think those would be the desires of your heart. But isn't that what he does?
No,
he changes the
right.
desires of your heart.
But I also had heard that, you know, the God, if you become a Christian, God's going to test you.
Uh-huh.
And you will be tested. Uh-huh. I didn't want any part of that. Uh-huh. I consciously avoided God because I was afraid of being
uh-huh.
tested.
Uh-huh.
Literally. I was afraid of it. So here I did was I was avoiding God and all the power I could have had, just so that I could control all the little petty things in my
uh-huh.
life, you know, try to control
yeah.
it. I could control. What's yeah. that saying you sometimes say? If it's to be, it's up to me.
Yes.
How do
yes,
you say
yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't, it won't. If it's to be,
yes,
it's up to me.
Yes, yes.
yes. The rallying cry for most men.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So then I know that Ross, you have two sons, Richard and Ross. Ross,
yes.
your younger son. Then he started developing Crohn's disease.
Yes, yes. So that was in about 2013. And as I mentioned earlier, getting tested. So
mm-hmm.
For me, and I've always been very close to my boys, and it was a huge, stressful test.
Yeah.
yeah. And by the grace of God, he recovered over the next 3 years and is doing great. But I came out of that, Sam, luckily came out of that by the grace of God with a stronger faith, like 10 times
yeah.
stronger.
Yeah.
So, you know,
10 times stronger.
He, I love that saying, I guess it's C.S. Lewis who says, you know, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience and he shouts to us in our
yes.
pain. Well, that's what
yeah.
happened
yes.
know, to me.
Yes. And you know,
got my attention.
You know, life tests us. life is hard. Life rolls at us, and it's what we do with it. And then I think our Heavenly Father does test us. And another thing that I see happen consistently is when a man is starting to learn who Jesus is, Satan will jump in and try to trip you up, because he's about to lose you completely. And if he can trip you up and stop that process, then he's won that battle. If he loses that battle, then he'll continue to try to distract and discourage you, tripping you up as you go along. So I see this consistently with men who are just starting out in their relationship with Jesus. Here comes a test. Boom. And oftentimes you can just see God allowed it early on to show you how real he is. And then as you go along in your relationship with him, then he'll allow it and let it stretch out a little longer so that afterwards you're stronger. Just like any kind of exercise, the more it goes on, the stronger you get. And remember, I told you back then, don't waste this.
Yes, you said that. I talked to you a lot during that time, and you were so helpful to me. But you made that comment, said, Dick, as Ross was getting better, you said, don't waste this.
Don't waste this.
And thank you. And I didn't. And that's helped. You know, another big thing just that's really changed is this exposure to the scriptures. You know, that's where I've learned so much. So I started doing a regular sort of method of reading the Bible, once again, that Ken taught me. And it was to read a page of the Bible from the Old Testament, a page from the Psalms, divide the New Testament in two sections, so two pages from the New Testament, and then the daily Proverbs.
Yeah.
So I started doing that. I aimed for about 4 days a week in the beginning to try and be realistic.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long before that became every day.
Every day.
And I will tell you, nothing has changed me more than that. That's changed everything. That's been about 6 years now on a daily basis, and that's changed me the most.
It is what changes you is that time in Scripture. And there's so many people that even followers of Jesus that aren't in the habit of it. They do a little bit here and there, and some people I'll talk to say, well, I try to read a little bit before I go to bed at night. And I said, well, how's that working out for you? Because I'm guessing you're asleep after about five or six verses, you know. But that earlier morning time, by the way, when I was telling you not to waste it, what I was saying was, and just for our listeners, you don't want to get to the other side of a rough time and just have gotten through it. That's what you don't want. You know, God allows a challenge in your life. The world comes in, whatever it is, but you don't want to just get through it and say, whew, that's behind me. You want to use it to go deeper.
That's right.
And then the richness of life comes in.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So the desires of your heart have changed. You are reading Scripture, and the Scripture has now come alive for you. I remember when you called me one day, shortly after you'd really woken up, and you said, can I read Romans? You remember that?
Can I read
it to you? You said, I see this book, Romans. Is it all right if I read it? Because you had never read it. I think you'd just been reading the Gospels. I said, by all means, jump in with both feet.
One
of the richest books there. So the Scripture's come alive and has changed everything for you. You the desires of your heart have changed, which is such a wonderful thing. Yes. And, you know, every wife would want their husband's desires of his heart to change, because most of us men, we're self-centered in the desires of our heart about all the desires of our heart. And then he comes in and he starts to change that, and you become a different man.
Yeah.
How about with your boys? What's been the difference in your relationship with your boys now that Jesus is in your life?
Yeah. Well, that's been great because I've been able to share this with them and share where I am. And now I'm seeing that, I actually have written them letters and all on these truths. And then they're reading the Bible themselves. I think I mentioned to you earlier, now that we're all on Zoom meetings, the Bible study I go to in Atlanta is on a Zoom Wednesday morning, and I'm seeing that my older son Richard is on there every Wednesday, and so it's just neat. You know, we can talk about these things. I wish I'd had it when I was 28, 29, 30, 31,
yes.
32.
Yes.
And I love that they are getting this.
All right, let me ask you this now that you have Jesus in your life. When things turn upside down, How is it different now for you than it was before?
Yeah, that's very different, because it used to be I would try and, you know, I said, okay, I'll get the problem and I'll analyze it and I'll fix it just as fast as I can. I'll fix it. Yeah. And I'll fix it. Now I go, no, slow down. Talk to Jesus about this. Let's see what's going on. He's in control anyway. Mm-hmm. And let's try and go that route. Yeah.
And that makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, my goodness. One, some of these problems don't even occur sometimes.
Yes.
Lots of times.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was talking with the men about that in the meeting that we just left. And at one point in my life when I was totally upside down, it was all my own fault, but everything was going wrong. And I had all just I knew Jesus at the time, but I just was consumed with fear and worry and anxiety. So one day I just wrote them all down, the five or six things that I just thought, if this is going to happen, it's going to be the worst thing that ever happens in my life. I'll never be able to recover from it. I'll never get beyond it. So I wrote them down. I put them in a shoebox. And about a year later, I came back and looked, and out of the things that I was scared to death of, only one actually happened. So there were several things I worried about that didn't even happen. The one that happened wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jesus brought good things out of it.
Yes.
If we could just learn that, to turn to Him first. And one other thing that blesses my heart about Dick is you hear him say Jesus. He could have just as easily said, I talked to God about it, and that would have been fine. And if you're listening today, I'm not saying that isn't what you do, but I can tell you this. God the Father set Jesus up as the catalyst. So when you talk to Jesus, there's just more of a connection. He's there for that purpose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's lived on the earth as a man. He understands what we've gone through. Yeah. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have him as our great high priest, right?
Yes. Our great high priest and our best friend.
Yeah.
All right, Dick. Exactly. Now, just one thing I want to cover. You've been single now for almost 30 years.
Yes.
How has your view of dating and women and all that, how has that shifted now that Jesus has become more and more important in your life?
Because
I tell you, Dick and I at Georgia Tech were, you'd just have to say we were womanizers. Mm-hmm. You'd have to use that. I mean, we were nice, but we were all about ourselves.
So changed, I mean, in respecting mm-hmm. women, mm-hmm. women now for sure. Knowing that they are children of God, made in God's image, how would you do something wrong there mentally or any way? So a lot of much greater respect, I'd say, uh-huh. Sam. Yes.
And I know I'm married now, but I was single for 18 years, and you start to not just think about yourself, but think about them. And you don't want to advance what you want just to get that, whatever it is you want, your way or whatever it is. You start thinking about them.
You start dying to yourself.
Dying to self, as we say so often. All right, let me ask you. I know that one of the things, you still love to go to Mass on mm-hmm. Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. So just talk for a moment about being a Catholic and a lifelong Catholic and still a Catholic. And Jesus, it's they don't have to be against each other.
That's right. That's
right. So you can still go to Mass, and yes,
and as I've seen a bit of a change in the church. The priests talking much more about Jesus now. There are, you know, it's hard to say. There are probably plenty of Catholics who feel very comfortable that if they get that Mass in on Sundays, then that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in good shape for the week.
Yeah.
You know, plenty of people, maybe like in some other denominations too, like you say. But I am able anyway to enjoy kind of the comfort of the Mass. It's very ritualistic and such, and the same things happen the same way mm-hmm. every time, and that does provide comfort. But I think it's just good that it can be good. It gets, for the loyal Catholics, and a lot of Catholics are very loyal, it gets them in front of God. At least it gets them in there. Now, they've got there may be a lot of work to be done, you know.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things about my friend Dick that, and I meant to say this earlier. I'm talking with Dick Doling, one of my longtime friends from Georgia Tech, who is a lifelong Catholic and was born again a few years ago. But that's one of the things I love is that you still love the Mass and everything about the Catholic Church, but your eyes have been open to the fact that there's more.
Yes. A lot more.
Which is no different than any other denomination.
Mm-hmm.
The actual church service can become what it's all about versus Jesus being what it's all about. And you can be lulled into a sense of I got my church service in, and so I'm okay.
Yes. And then that's not the real thing, is it? I mean, then, you know.
No.
You're missing.
You're missing the real thing.
Yes.
So I do want to say that the Catholics are really no, and I know this will offend all my Protestant friends, but there's not a lot of difference because most churches are not talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. They're not talking about being born again, and they are not encouraging you, even insisting in an encouraging way that you get into the scriptures.
No.
And that you spend the time. So to your Catholic friends, what would you say to them?
Yeah. What I would say is that you can go direct. You can go straight to God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and talk to them and learn from them. You can read the scriptures directly yourselves. And you can spend the time to talk to Jesus, get to know him. He wants to know you. He wants your heart, not sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
That's good. And matter of fact, he says that over and over, especially in the Older Testament, that it's not the sacrifices, it's your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the sacrifice. I know I put the sacrifices in, I put all these rituals in. That's to lead you to me. All right, so I want to finish up. I was reading Eugene Peterson passed in the last 2 or 3 years, and I was reading his daughter's eulogy. And at the end, she said, she made this statement that her father had taught her. She said, you know, everybody thinks you're this genius, but you fooled them all, because the simple message that you said to me over and over every night would be, God loves you, he is on your side, he's coming after you, he is relentless.
Wow, that's good.
God loves you, he is on your side, he's coming after you, he is relentless. And that's what your life looks like.
Thank God he is.
Thank God he is. And that's what your life looked like.
Yes.
He loved you. He was on your side. But he was coming after you, and he was relentless.
Thank God.
This has been my friend Dick Doling, who is, as I said, I met down at Georgia Tech my first year there, first man I met on campus, and we've been dear friends ever since. But the greatest gift is that he came to know Jesus a few years back, and our relationship now has gone to a whole nother level. And I want you to have that too, that you will learn to have that deep, deep relationship with Jesus. I'm Sam Hunter, and this is 721 Live. So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.